Welcome back to another edition of the Soccer Specialist Podcast. I hope you are doing well. Today, we're going to talk about seven specific things you can do to help take your performance on the pitch to another level, to help you be able to play and compete with higher level competition. But before I get there, I just want to take a moment and say thank you. For those of you that don't know, I use Spotify to do my podcasting. And at the end of every year, now they always do it at the end of November, it seems, but they kind of give me a year in review with some things. And I just wanted to say thank you to all of you, because this is because of you. I can't do this without you. They talked about how, you know, how people are sharing the podcast. And what I thought was interesting is of all the shares, 57% of them were via text, which I thought was cool. I mean, that's obviously a much more personal recommendation than just, you know, quickly throwing out a link on Facebook or something like that. Listeners this year up 89%. The streams are up 98%. We have 129% more followers of the podcast, which is really cool. Over 5,600 of you have it in your top 10 most listened to this year. Another 4,000, it's in your top five. Over 1,200 of you have it as your most listened podcast of 2023, which is just, it's absolutely amazing. A couple more things and then we'll move into it. But I just really want to say thank you to all of this. It's really cool. Top episode of the year is what all young players need to succeed in soccer. And interestingly enough, it's one of the first episodes I've ever done. I think you find it back in like the end of 2019, which is when I started the podcast. And yet that's the top episode listened to this year. I mean, I guess that's good, right? 27% of the new listeners we've had this year started with that episode. So hopefully they're listening to that and then moving on and listening to some of their new stuff as well, which is really cool. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of you that are listening, that are sharing it as well. That's how people are finding the podcast. That's not anything I'm doing. I'm uploading them. But so, okay, now that we got that taken on, let's move on to the things. Oh, also 4.8 stars out of 5. Between, I think, 100 and now 100 and something, 105, 106, something like that, reviews on or ratings on Spotify, another 51 ratings on Apple Podcasts as well. So that's really awesome. So thank you so much for that. If you haven't gotten a chance to check out deals for the holidays, go to impactsoccerperformance.com/holiday. Now let's dig in. Seven things that you're going to need to do to play the game at a higher level. Okay, so first of all, what's the big thing that's different? Everything. But more specifically, a lot of people will say it is the speed of play at higher levels. That you're always under pressure. The higher you go in terms of the competition level you play, the pressure that you're under is more. It happens faster. You have less space, less time on the ball to make decisions and to execute, to be able to, you know, dribble, pass, shoot. And of course, that speed of play happens because of the improvement of everything, right? At the higher level, everything is the game is better, which is what makes it faster. Players' first touch is much better. Their overall ball control is much better. Their decision making is better. Their off the ball movement is better, right? Their soccer IQ is better. And to give you a quick example, because I'm sure parents that are listening have seen this, if you're a player, you've noticed it's either with yourself in the way you play or teammates, even competitors. They're at younger levels a lot of times. Fast athletic players are able to, you know, what I call make a self pass. It's technically dribbling, I guess, but it's dribbling by making kind of hitting the ball 10 or 15 yards past the defender and then out racing them to the ball successfully. Whereas as players get a little older, defenders get better in their understanding of the game. They become smarter defenders, and you can no longer do that because either the defender you're going against is smart enough to drop step and cut you off and be between you and the ball, or they have support with the second defender who's in a better supporting situation or position. And when that ball goes by the first defender, they take an angle to the ball and they beat the dribble there. So you get little things like that that happen at higher levels to take away some of the things you were doing that made you successful when you were younger. Okay, so number one, let's get into these seven things, okay? You've heard me talk about this all the time, and that is mastering the ball, right? Everything else starts your technique with the ball, your ability to control the ball with all parts of your feet to do it under pressure. Remember, I mentioned just a few minutes ago the speed of play. So you're under pressure a lot faster. You have less space. You have less time. And so in order to counteract that, your ability to control the ball needs to improve, starting with your first touch. And this is the limiting factor in your development. Everything else that we're going to talk about involves, you know, is based on how good you are with the ball at your feet. So this is something that you never stop working on. It's something that you need to train every single day. You know, something like Impact Soccer System. You can check out impactsoccerperformance.com/holiday to check that out. The second thing, another thing I kind of talk about a lot is, you know, increasing the intensity of your training. And not just physically, but mentally. I've talked about focus a lot, how important this is, and how a lot of players, this is something that needs to be, I think, shown more than talked about with coaches. It's something that a lot of players don't understand. And a good example I use with my players when they're younger is, you know, just having two players passing the ball back and forth to each other, you know, one touch, but maybe they're 5 or 6 yards apart. And just I'd ask two players to do it and observe them and then say, okay, now you have, and in knowing my players, I could give them a number that I think they could reach if they're really, really work on it, but it's a challenging. I might say, okay, now you have to hit, you know, so many successful one touch passes in a row in, you know, 30 seconds or what have you. And you will, right? You can see the difference. And that's focus. That's their focus on what they're doing, their intensity mentally and physically, the tempo of what they're doing increases. And you could add to that, you get two more players and say, well, now it's not just hit a number. Now it's who can do, which group of two can do more. And then maybe have a punishment. And I kind of use quotes on that because, you know, but you make it kind of fun. It's like, okay, you know, losers do push-ups or losers do, you know, burpees or whatever. And you make it a small number. It's not to really punish them, but it just adds to that competitive level. And then you do that with maybe you've got 5 or 6 groups of two players and work it and you're working it out. And by doing that and adding that competition, you can see what I mean. And players can see and feel what I mean in terms of the increased focus, the increased tempo of what they're doing, the increased intensity of what they're doing. You know, and this goes to also what I've said in terms of your ball control individually going back, and is that to master something that you're working on is to speed up, keep speeding up. You can do it gradually until you start making too many mistakes, until it's too sloppy, and then slow back down a little bit, speed up again until you start making too many mistakes with it. And a good example is just that simple idea of, you know, foundations or bells, that simple ball control thing that a lot of people start with other than toe touch, right? Inside of the foot to the inside of the foot, back and forth. And because if you're always going a little too fast for yourself, your body's going to start thinking that those mistakes you're making are what you want to do. And it's going to become a habit. So it's a balance, and this isn't in one session, what I'm saying, speed up, slow down, but it's over time. So you'll see over time that you gradually get faster with these things while keeping your performance level still at a high rate. Okay. So, and then of course, another thing with this, in order to increasing the intensity of your training, is doing this and keeping this focus in competition, whether it's in your training when you're doing small-sided games or you know, scrimmage or what have you, or in pickup games away, and to keep that intensity up and keep that focus. And this means sometimes you need to be training harder than the games, especially in conditioning, but in other aspects too. And, you know, in technical skills and learning tactics, you know, perfecting other aspects of the game, there's that balance. You want to start out and have success and build on your technique and your skill, but a portion of that training needs to be harder than the game as well, especially in conditioning. So it's not always about training harder, always the intensity being higher, but you definitely need a portion of that to improve on the baseline of what you can do in a game. Number three, another one I talked about in the past as well, is checking your shoulder, or what we call, you know, your vision, your awareness, scanning the field. A great example, and I think you can go look at this, go to YouTube and look up Frank Lampard scanning, or Frank Lampard checking your shoulder or something like that. And you should find probably a few of them. I know there's one that's only about 17 seconds long, and you'll just see him moving around, not really making runs, but he never stands in one place either. But he's constantly, as the ball's moving, he's constantly checking his shoulder, checking where he is, checking where the defense is, and moving and finding space to be supportive to his teammates with the ball. And, you know, typically players are checking the shoulder every 5-6 seconds, right? Which is, we're talking about, you know, 800, 900, 1,000 times in a 90-minute match. So it's all the time. And so if you don't have the ball, you constantly need to know where are your teammates, where are your opponents, where is the space, where is the best space to support the ball? What are my options if I receive the ball right now? You know, scan, you got to scan, you got to check your shoulder, you got to do it before you receive the ball. If you do it after your first touch, it's too late, you're going to lose the ball. Sometimes, again, lower level soccer is when you're beginning, you have more time and more space, you can get away with it. As you move up, you're not going to be able to get away with it. You're going to struggle. So start now in making it a good habit if you're a younger player. Don't just accept, well, I can get away with it because, you know, I'm going to have time and space. No, because then it's going to become a bad habit. And I found this is maybe the biggest thing to get older players to do if they're not doing it from day one. I see it very little in youth soccer, is this checking your shoulder, this constantly scanning and knowing where everything is, because you need that in order to make good decisions. And, you know, I've said before, you know, 22 players in 11v11, obviously, you got 22 players in a ball and they're all constantly moving, which is why you always have to be checking your shoulder, asking yourself these questions and understanding where you are in relation to the opponents, to your teammates, to the ball, to the space, and know what you're going to do with the ball before you get it. Very, very, very important. Absolutely crucial, because your technical skills may be top notch. You may actually have an incredible first touch. You may be great with the ball at your feet. But if you're waiting to know what's around you until after you've received the ball, you're still going to struggle no matter how good you are with it. And you may never receive the ball because you can't find the correct space because you don't know where anybody is, right? So this one is huge, and I just see this as a big struggle with youth players in America. I rarely see players checking their shoulder. And then, of course, there is your soccer IQ. What I said before, it's so important also is watching the game. This is one of the bigger advantages kids have in other places, Europe and South America and so forth, is they grow up watching the game. It's getting a little better in America, but a lot of youth soccer players in America do not watch the game. But you need to watch it and pay attention. I mean, enjoy it, of course, but pay attention to what's going on as well, right? Because you start to pick up patterns of play, tactically speaking. You know, you start noticing players and even their little movements off the ball and the timing of the runs and the types of runs they make and things like that. You know, when and where they're passing, shooting, dribbling, decision to make a run and what type of run and when is the run made, you know. And as you get older, if you're up for this, there's always a debate on whether this helps or not, because a lot of players don't like it. But as you get older, you may find this very helpful, and that's filming your games and watching them. And now parents who are listening, right, don't force this on your players, especially when they're really young. First of all, when they're really young, they're just not, you're not going to hold their attention for very long. And if you do, and it doesn't mean you can't encourage it, but also if you do get them to do it where they're doing it, and maybe it starts with highlight clips, like, you know, don't have them watch a whole match and so forth. But if you're going to watch with them, you need to watch in silence, right? You can't make this important part of their development that so few players do, you know, if they're actually doing it, don't make this about you pointing out every little mistake and criticizing them, because they're going to stop watching. They're not going to watch, because it's just going to become, well, watching film doesn't help me because it just gives my parents a chance to say, you didn't do this right, and you did that wrong, and you messed this up, and how did you not see that teammate open, right? We don't want to take it there. So let the player take charge of that. Let them analyze it. They can, if they want to ask you questions after, like they've looked at it and they've said, oh, this, and this, and they want to ask you, hey, what did you see? Great. If it's something that they maybe encouragement from their coach to do it, and maybe, you know, they watch a game and then next practice they get there a few minutes early and have a quick conversation with the coach or whatever, that could be awesome. Number five, really, really big one is small-sided games. Play them as often as possible. And intense small sided games. I'm not talking about the goofing around type, which has its place. We've all done that, and it's fun, but play some hardcore high intensity games. And when I mean small sided, I'm talking 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, possibly 5v5 with keepers. And that's it. Bigger, not bigger than that. Play pickup as often as possible. Play it with better competition. I mean, it's pickup. Nobody cares, right? Go out and work. Usually, if you go into a pickup game situation, you're playing with older, bigger kids that have played a little longer. Maybe they're better than you, and you go in with a good attitude and you work hard. They're gonna support and help you, man. That's just the way it is, okay? And on that, when you are doing it, absolutely don't shy away. It's a great opportunity to demand the ball, to get as many touches as possible, even when you're in tight situations and under pressure. Okay? Don't shy away and don't hide. When you have a teammate that's in trouble, help them. Be an outlet for them. And yeah, you're going to be under pressure too, but that's okay because it's not really that big a deal if you lose the ball in a pickup game. I mean, Andy Barney was the founder of the original KC Legends program. What I always refer to as probably the most successful youth club in American soccer. I know in scrimmages and small sided games and stuff, he would always have he had a rule where his players, every time they got the ball, they had to make an actual move. And at KC Legends in the curriculum, you had specific moves that you learned starting from day one. You had to make one of those moves before you were able to get rid of the ball. Even in your own box, right? Even on your own goal line, there's no just booting it away. Okay, you had to make a move. Now that's getting the ball under pressure, right? Absolutely. But you get used to that, and you start becoming successful in that with training, and it kind of goes back and ties in with what I said about earlier about training sometimes being more difficult for games. If you get used to doing that, it becomes a lot easier in games, right? If you're under pressure and you have to make a move in training before you can get rid of the ball, even in your own box where you might give up a goal, and you have to do that every time, and you get better at doing that, well, getting the ball in that situation in a game and being able to successfully get out of that situation becomes a lot easier, right? First, from a confidence standpoint, but also, if I had to make a, do a scissor or a step over or Matthews or Maradona or whatever in front of my own goal, and I could get away with that. Man, one or two touch, boy, that's easy. That's no problem, right? Man, this is getting so long. I'm sorry. We'll get to get soccer fit. That's number six. Always incredibly important. Soccer is very, very conditioning specific in terms of how the ends of matches go. And I know at younger ages, you may have players going off and on and off and on. It doesn't affect you as much, but especially does as you get older. And again, we're talking about moving up and playing higher level competitions and being able to compete. As you get into a match and you get to it, then everything fatigues. You get slower physically and mentally. You take bad touches that were good touches early in the game. You make bad decisions that were probably e might have been easy decisions in the game. You stop doing things like checking your shoulder and being aware of where you are. You stop making runs that you should make, or maybe you make them kind of half-heartedly, and maybe you kind of wait till you're sure the player is going to play the ball, and then you make your run, and by then it's too late. You no longer take the two or three quick steps to move a yard that you need to take in order to give your teammate a good angle to pass you the ball, or that you need to take in order to open up your body and receive the ball properly with the correct foot, right? So your overall game suffers when you're not in the right physical condition for it. So and this impacts you more and more as you move up and play at higher levels, when the speed of play gets faster, when maybe the fields get bigger, the substitutes get fewer, and things like that. And if you aren't soccer fit, you're not going to be able to play at that high level because everything else about your game's gonna suffer. Go, by the way, go check out Dominate Game Day on Amazon, 4-week soccer specific conditioning program. Okay, last one, number seven, that goes on with number six is getting soccer strong, right? Increasing your strength, increasing your speed. As much as we love to try and get away from the whole athlete thing in soccer, and there are absolutely reasons for it, I get that. You can be what's First of all pros are great athletes, okay? But yeah, there are lots of things that aren't necessarily take the typical attributes of an athlete that we think about. That being said, those attributes are incredibly, incredibly important for soccer, right? And one thing I saw was really interesting was, I don't want to call it a study because it was really more like they looked at games and, you know, did the old stopwatch and thing. And it was 90% of sprints. And I think it's probably lower than this at lower levels when there's a little more kicking and chasing and running. But as you get to higher levels, 90% of sprints are 4 seconds or less in terms of how long they last. Even 64% of them are 2 seconds or less. And that's a good thing because the number one key to soccer speed is strength. Okay. And the aspect of speed that the strength can most impact is acceleration. Right. So it's that shorter part of the sprint. It's not the 100 meters or 100 yards that you run. It's the 10, 15, 20 yards that you run, the 5 yards that you run, the 30 yards that you run. And so when you increase your strength, you're increasing the speed of the most important part of the game. Check out impactsoccerperformance.com for that as a fantastic way to increase your soccer strength and speed. I am going to leave it there. This got crazy long, but I did want to give you one more thing. I was listening to a Kobe Bryant's speech recently, and I was like, oh, that sounds like what I've been saying to my team. I mean, maybe I got it from Kobe years ago, but I've always said that for me, for all of you players that are listening, all the advice I give you, it's, and I've had this conversation with my players, said, look, it's not about me wanting you to be the greatest player, to be a pro player, to play D1 college or what it is. It's simply wanting you to be the best player you can be, whatever ultimate level that is. If your talent is you're going to be a solid starter as a senior in high school for an okay team, great. I want you to get there. I don't want you to be a player that gets cut. You didn't reach that potential. And, you know, and that's kind of what Kobe was saying. He said when he was growing up, he never thought about being the greatest player ever. He thought about he wants to be the best that he can be, whatever that is. Because, and this, again, I said this to my players a lot. He didn't want to look back and wonder, like, you know, what if I'd done that? What if I hadn't done that? Where would I have ended up? You know, you don't want to have those regrets. So for me, it's even for players that are never even really looking past high school. They don't have a desire to. I still think it's important to try and be the best player you can be to that level. And it also is going to take you so much farther in life away from soccer because you're going to do and learn things and create habits that are going to be important for you to be successful in life as well. So remember, play without fear. Don't be afraid to mess up. The game is fun. The better you get, the more fun you're going to have. If you haven't done so, go check out impactsoccerperformance.com/holiday. The deal that's there, depending on when you listen to this, I think ends November 30th, but there will be stuff there throughout the holiday season. I'm going to leave it there for now. I can't believe how crazy long this got. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing. I'm looking forward to having an awesome 2024. Although we still have another month left, don't we? But I'm going to leave it there. Thank you again. I will talk to you later.